Thank you, Wendy. Well, I was watching Mike Huckabee on Sunday night. I hope you did. And he was sharing about the Liberty Bill that has been passed by the United States Congress. Liberty Bill basically does this, and I encourage you to look this up, because now it's being passed on to the Senate, and I hope it doesn't get out of committee. Since 1964, Civil Rights Bill was passed, churches have been given the special privilege of hiring who they want to. In other words, if we're a Southern Baptist conservative church, we hire people that their doctrinal beliefs align with us. Well, if this bill passes the Senate, we will no longer be allowed to hire people that are just of our doctrinal persuasion. You have to consider lost people to serve on your staff. You have to interview people from alternative lifestyles to serve on your staff. And, you know, other religions. And if you're found not having those working on your church staff, they can take you to the EEOC and sue you, fine you, or shut you down as a church. It's not being carried in the mainstream media, and that's on purpose, because our Democratic Party, who heads up our House of Representatives, is running this kind of interference out in front of bills. They want you to hear about the Russian collusion and some other things, and at the same time, they're doing some things that you and I just wouldn't approve of at all. I encourage you to write to your senators and representatives on the state level and also national level about this. We don't need to go to sleep at the wheel. All right, tonight I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd, but beginning with John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." I was reading the other day about a young lady, young mom, who was very stressed out. She said that she was sleep deprived, trying to take care of her children. She's doing the housework, also taking care of her husband. She was also a 3-year-old Sunday school teacher at her church. Husband came home on this particular weekend and said that he thought his job was going to be eliminated. Well, that meant immediate financial distress. She wondered, what are we going to do? It's just the stress was just too much. She waited until Sunday morning to prepare her lesson for the three-year-olds. Well, I want you to know that the lesson was about the Good Shepherd. And she looked at that and she said, these kids will have no idea what a shepherd is, and I doubt they've ever seen sheep. So she reluctantly went to Sunday school that morning. She had little three-year-old boys and girls. And the first thing they did was their art lesson. And you know what that was? She had cut out sheep. She had brought glue. And they pasted cotton on the little images of the sheep. So she began to give a little background about what a sheep is. And then talked a little bit about the shepherd, the leader of the sheep. She was still pretty distressed. She was sipping on her coffee while she was teaching these little three-year-olds. So finally, she threw out a question. She said, what do you think a shepherd does? And the little three-year-old boy says, he picks up the sheep when they fall down. She said, that was probably the deepest lesson that I learned personally from all that I ever taught three-year-olds, because that was exactly what I needed to hear. Notice he says here, I am the good shepherd. You live in the South, that's a little hard for us to connect with because we're mainly used to seeing cows and horses in the pasture. And in Northwest Georgia, you always see one donkey to keep predators away. We just take a little minute and go back to the first century Middle Eastern culture. The world at that time was very sheep dependent. They used the wool. They also used the meat. And then there were sheep all over the place. Sheep had the reputation of not being the most intelligent among the created animals upon the earth. And they were also very stubborn. And the world was a very dangerous place for them. Wild animals would attack, oftentimes because they love lamb chops. And for all those reasons, sheep needed guidance. And I think if we're completely honest with ourselves, we'd admit that we need the same thing. In fact, the Bible often compares us to sheep. Well, we say, well, does God see us as very cuddly and soft? No. I think that He might see us as a little stubborn. Sometimes a little dumb, and we fall down a lot. In this passage, he says, I am the shepherd that all of my children need. Now, life's been really hard for a lot of people, and you start to realize that you need something or someone that you don't have. And today, you're going to hear Jesus calling out to us to follow Him. Now, what I want us to see in this text is there are four attitudes of the good shepherd towards his flock. First of all, notice his position with the sheep in the first four verses. Jesus was a good shepherd because of his familiarity with the sheep. He knew them. He even knew their names. First thing I want you to see there is that he is able to enter the sheep pen by the gate, instead of having to sneak around and get in some other way. The Old Testament scholar George Adam Smith said he was traveling in the Middle East with a guide. He said they came across a shepherd with his sheep, and they started talking with him. And the shepherd showed him a pen where he kept the sheep at night. And this is what he said. He said, when my sheep are in this pen, they are completely safe. And one of the tourists raised his hand and said, how can they be safe? How can they be safe when there's no gate on the opening of the pen? And the shepherd said, I am the gate. He said, I lay down across the opening to the pen. He said, any enemy has to crawl across me. Now understand that this shepherd was an Arab. And the tourist said, what do you mean you're the gate? He said, listen, when it gets dark, he said, this is my place right here at the opening. I just lay down right there. And if a predator comes, I'll give my life to stop him from hurting my sheep. Well, Jesus wasn't confusing his metaphors. He, And he wasn't just switching back and forth between calling himself the shepherd and the gate. The shepherd is the gate, which means he makes it his business to protect us, his sheep. And that's one thing I don't understand. People who say they're saved and they believe they can lose their salvation. Scripture teaches the eternal security of the believer. And Jesus said that no one can pluck us, our souls, out of the hand, out of his hand. He's going to protect our salvation. He's going to protect us. The second thing is, we find here that Scripture says the sheep hear his voice. There's a seminary professor in Chicago named Bill Donahue. He said when he was very young and in seminary, Bill said he was a part-time youth pastor at a small church. He said one day one of the members who had about 25 sheep at his farm asked Bill to come over. And so he said, I went over to see him. He said, I'm a city boy. So he said, the farmer took me out to see his sheep. He said, what I want you to do, Bill, is go with me and help call the sheep up to the barn. So Bill went out there with him, and they're about 75 yards from the sheep. And Bill said, well, what do we do? And the farmer said, why don't you call the sheep? He said, well, how do you call the sheep? And the farmer said, say, sheep, come this way. Come here. He said, go ahead and say that, Bill. Bill said, sheep, come here. Come this way. And farmer looked at him and said, they're 75 yards away. You need to say that a little louder. So he said, sheep, come here. Come this way. And he said, the sheep did not even turn their heads in his direction. So the farmer just said this in a simple tone, 75 yards away, sheep, come here, let's get into the barn. And all 25 started coming across the pasture to the barn to be fed. And here's what the farmer asked Bill. He said, Bill, don't they teach you the Bible in that seminary you're attending? He said, the sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And Bill Donahue said, I have never forgotten that lesson. There's a very personal relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, between Jesus and us. The other thing I want you to see here is his familiarity is seen that he's able to call each of the sheep by their names. Shepherds would give their sheep individual names. Jesus had a rightful claim to the following he developed because he knows each of us intimately. I think husbands and wives, over the years, you get to know each other better. I will never understand women. I admit that. And any guy who says he does will lie to you about anything. Don't buy a used car from him. I'll promise you that. And then you learn more. I told Elaine, I said, well, after God calls me to retire, I think I'm just going to go by my middle name. And she looked at me and she said, I've always hated your middle name. We've been married over 41 years and we dated for 5, and I never knew she hated my middle name. And you know, as a husband and wife, you know a hot button. You know what ticks each other's off. I was reading the other day a little Blondie cartoon about Dagwood, and that's deep and theological, and Dagwood was having trouble sleeping, so he got up in the middle of the night, and Blondie looked at him and said, listen, why don't you go downstairs and do some work? This would be a great opportunity to use this time wisely. And she said, Dagwood thought about work for 60 seconds and his eyelids got heavy and he fell back to sleep. Blondie said, I know all of his buttons. She knows him. God knows us. A good shepherd's attitude toward the church is an attitude of familiarity. And he knows about us. He knows whether we're faithful to the worship services. One preacher looked at an unusually large congregation that he had on Easter Sunday, and he said, let me take this opportunity, since most of you won't be back till next Easter, to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And don't forget, I'm wishing you a Happy Thanksgiving today. I think he got that from Warren Jones when he welcomes the congregation on special occasions. You know, if you've been a member for 20 years and every time you come to service, half the people greet you with these words, "It's so nice to have you visit with us today. You hadn't been there enough." And then the other thing is with our Bible study involvement, that's where we get to know people. And that's where we get to build relationships and then express care for one another. We have the attitude of the Good Shepherd. We become familiar with our church. We know and we're known. We get involved and build friendships with fellow Christians. Now notice the provisions of the sheep, verse 7 through 10. The ones who came before Jesus, he says, were thieves and robbers who killed and destroyed. Now who's Jesus talking about? He's talking about false messiahs throughout the history of the Jews. From time to time, individuals arise and say that they were the long-awaited Messiah. They were takers. They were users. They were manipulators. And then he contrasts himself to them. He says they were takers, but he said, "I'm the real thing. I'm a provider." What does Jesus provide? He provides salvation for us. The other thing, he provides sustenance for us. It says he will come in and go out and find pasture. He provides a joyful and significant life for us. He said, "I've come that they may all have life and have it to the full." So salvation, sustenance, and life. And then the Good Shepherd's attitude toward the church is a provider attitude. I love the biblical analogy in Romans chapter 12 and also in 1 Corinthians 12 as Jesus calls us the body. You know, some of us are elbows, some of us are arms, hands, feet, eyes, ears, nose. We all have different spiritual gifts to bring us together to work as the body of Christ. And it's very important that you know what your spiritual gift really is. Billy preached on that not too long ago. Somebody says we need to grow and discover our spiritual gifts and become mature believers. I was reading the other day a definition of a baby. Somebody said, "A baby is a digestive apparatus with a loud noise at one end and no responsibility at the other." And it didn't say which end was which. We're not babies. We have a responsibility to be church providers. The shepherd provides for us. You know, cancer is just a debilitating disease of our day. And what cancer is, very simply, is cells that just don't want to go along with the program. And that they're deviant cells and they have their own agenda. And it would be great if they would just leave our bodies. But the problem is, they want to hang out. They want blood. They want oxygen. And those cancer cells want to spread, metastasize. They want to grow. I want you to know cancer exists in our church today. There's cells of people that want the benefits of the body, but they don't want to be involved in ministering to other people. Notice the possession of the sheep. Jesus, he says, "I'm the good shepherd," because he says, "I have ownership of the sheep." And when you have ownership, you're a person who genuinely cares. We take the example of the shepherd back in the biblical times. Here's what he said. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He says, "I lay my body across the gate at night. No predator can cross into my flock without crossing me." But let me tell you this. You take a 16-year-old young man who's making minimum wage and you put him out there to lay down across that gate at night, and all of a sudden a wolf comes down out of the hills, he might say, they don't pay me enough to lay down my life to kill this wolf and just let him go in and have lamb chop over there, and I'm going to spare my own self. And what's the difference? The shepherd, the good shepherd, has ownership. All 25 of those sheep belong to him. But the Bible, if you got the King James Version, says that that person who's just paid to do that, who has no investment, is just a hireling. Well, a couple of years ago, this is another discovery you get in marriage. Delaney walked by me in the house. She said, you know, your bottom teeth sure are crooked. And she had never told me that. And so I just made an appointment with the orthodontist. Later on, I told her, I said, I'm going to see the orthodontist. They give do a one-hour evaluation. And I said, if I can have the little Invisaligns, I'm going to do braces. She said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going up there. And so I went in there and got the work up. And he said, you don't have to have metal. I've had those before when I was a teenager. He said, we can do Invisaligns. And then with the digital, all that stuff they have, he said, I'm going to show you what your smile will look like in 17 months. I said, okay. And so I went over. It's almost like timeshare. They got somebody on the side there that closes the deal. And she's a lady who's never had a cavity. And beautiful, bright white smile. And she's never had braces. But it's just perfect. So I said, let's just go ahead and let's just pay this up front. Oh, there's 10% discount on pay it up front. I love discounts. Cash is king. And so I went through the 17 months. I've been very faithful to that. Delaney came to me 2 months ago and she said, I know I was upset with you for getting braces, but it's worth every penny you paid for it. That's the approval of the boss. But listen to me. Here's what I did wrong the first time. My dad paid for my braces. I wore metal for 2 years, never to get struck by lightning, but it was a possibility. And the girl I was dating for 4 years, she had braces too. And so that was an interesting thing that was going on at the time. That's just enrichment. Well, when it came time to wear retainers, I was not faithful. And that's why my teeth got crooked again. This time, I'm wearing my retainers 12 hours every night. Why am I doing that? I'm spending my money and not my dad's. I've got ownership in this. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the parts have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Ownership is a result of a sacrificial investment. As Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He has ownership of us. He's placed us in the body of Christ when we were born again, the universal body of Christ. We get involved in the local body of Christ, and we take ownership under His lordship. And then notice the price paid for the sheep in verse 14 through 18. Jesus said, I lay down my life for my sheep, referring to His sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus didn't offer this sacrifice out of compulsion. Remember, it was voluntary. He said, no one takes my life from me, but He said, I lay it down of my own accord. So His attitude towards the church is one of sacrifice. 1 John 3:16. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. It's an attitude of voluntary sacrifice and not compulsory. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. His owner, lady of the house, decided that she would clean his cage with the vacuum cleaner attachment while Chippy was still in the cage. While she was vacuuming, the phone rang, and she thought she could multitask. And when she did, Chippy went all the way to the bag. She told the lady on the other phone, said, I've had an accident here. I've got to go. So she turned off the vacuum cleaner, opened it up, and dumped Chippy out of the bag. And Chippy was covered in dust, could hardly breathe, and she thought, man, I've got to do something here. He's full of dirt. So she went to the bathtub and turned on the cold water, put Chippy under there. I'm all clean, and then when she got through, Chippy was just shivering like this. She said, I got to do something. So you know what she did, what any lady would do. She reached over and got the hair dryer and turned it on hot and blew him dry. Poor Chippy never knew what happened to him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who heard about this incident contacted her and said, how's Chippy doing? She said, well, he doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and he stares. You know, when sacrifice is compelled or forced, our joy is lost. And the song in our heart is silence. I think about Paul and Silas when they were locked up in jail. You know, that could be Satan's cold water committee. They didn't sit in silence. What did they do? They were just singing about Jesus. When we come to our church, what kind of attitude we have? Do we have one of voluntary sacrifice? What do we need to do? What do we need to give up to make her great? Sometimes we sacrifice and we're just glad for the opportunity. Somebody told me in the last couple of months when I share this story, some of you will know the name of the individual. It's a man in our community. He's married and had children. He's been fighting a debilitating disease for years. Finally, he was under home health care came in and said, you have got to go to a nursing home. And he said, we can't afford a nursing home. If I go to the nursing home in a year, my wife and children will be homeless. They'll be bankrupt. So he asked that he be able to die at home and all the medical assistance he was being given be discontinued. He said, I'd rather die than my family be without a home. What a decision. A sacrifice. We look at the Good Shepherd. Here's the picture we see. The Father gave His Son for the life of the world. The Son voluntarily gave His life back to the Father, which brings glory to the Father. But then we look a little bit further, and because of Jesus' sacrifice and God's provision of His Son, Jesus' sacrificial death is for us. And when people say, you know, I'm born again, but I don't serve God. Think about this. The motivation for serving God ought to be the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. It ought to be the Son that God provided for us. And then we are to have our lives patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the proper response to the Good Shepherd? It's just one word. It's the word obedience. Remember what He said here. My sheep hear My voice. There are a lot of people out here that say they're saved and they're not serving, because they're not really saved to start with, and the proof is they don't hear His voice. Then those of us who are saved, when the Good Shepherd is whispering out to us, we need to respond with humble, sacrificial service. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. and you're the sheep. I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. I'll give you the power. Now listen to my voice and serve me. Let's pray together.